Our sermon scripture is taken from Isaiah chapter 44, verses 21 through 23. Remember these things, O Jacob, for you are my servant, O Israel. I have made you, you are my servant. O Israel, I will not forget you. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing for joy, O heavens, for the Lord has done this. Shout aloud, O earth beneath. Burst into song, you mountains, you forests, and all your trees, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob. He displays his glory in Israel. This is God's holy word.
Does anyone know the name Edward Nairn? Edward Nairn. Huh. Really? I mean, he was like 100, 200 years ago. Edward Nairn. He lived in a time when he sold rubber, half-inch rubber cubes in his engineering shop, because one time he had been working on a paper and been writing, and he made an error, a mistake, so he reached for some breadcrumbs. Evidently, if you're old enough, you might remember that they used breadcrumbs to erase pencil from the paper. And he mistakenly grabbed a piece of rubber instead of the breadcrumb, and he found out that the rubber did a better job erasing the pencil marks. So Edward Nairn is the one that invented the eraser. All because he mistook a piece of rubber for the piece of bread. So next time, if you still use pencil and erasers, anytime you do that, you can thank Edward Nairn for this happenstance kind of unexciting invention. But think about all the erasers that have been produced and used. I found it kind of interesting as I read this devotional that someone gave me some time for a possible sermon topic is, they used breadcrumbs to erase mistakes. Mistakes, we know them in our life as sin. Interesting, breadcrumbs, and how are we forgiven? The bread of life. John 6:35, Jesus tells us, I am the bread of life. And from that devotional, we have a sermon, hopefully, that's going to be worthwhile. Sin. I wish it could just be singular, but unfortunately, probably, if your life is like mine, there's sins, there's multiples, there's iniquities, there's depravities, there's immoralities and debauchery. There's failings, there's transgressions, there's wrongs and wrongdoings. There's seemingly an unlimited number of descriptive terms that we can use when we talk about sin. Such sin, our sin, it's the reality of what we live with. But the reality is our sin can be wiped out. Our sin can be forgiven and totally forgotten through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our past sin need not define us, need not keep us held back from a bright and glorious future. Our past sins, they cannot cut us off from God's love and God's mercy. When we sin, it's a separation from God, but God goes nowhere. It's we who have broken that relationship with God, and through confession and repentance, we can be restored and we can return to God. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet, chapters 40 through chapters 48, they speak of the deliverance and the restoration of Israel. And then in chapter 44, what Amy read for us, chapter 44 lifts up the Lord as the only God, proclaiming the redemptive power of God. Sin is forgiven. Hear verse 22 again. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Can you mentally capture that word picture in your mind? As the sun and the winds drive away the mist, drive away the fog, so God's mercy will sweep away our sin. Isaiah 44:23 shares the natural response to our sin being swept away. The heavens and the earth are full of rejoicing at the good news of redemption and restoration. For through the forgiveness of our sins, the people are invited to return to God. And so there is worship and there is praise, shouting adoration of God. How great and magnificent is our God. His restoration of our souls, it's wondrous and it's freeing for us. In the preceding chapter, in Isaiah 43, verse 25, I believe the Lord is even clearer on the promise of his forgiveness and restoration. For the prophet proclaims this message, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Remembers your sins no more. The devotional piece on this subject of sins being swept away shares, for many, it's hard to believe our past sins can be swept away by God like the morning mist. Does God, who knows everything about each one of us, does God forget so easily? Our guilt can linger even after we've asked for forgiveness and we have repented. It can linger. The scene was a San Diego Superior Court. Two men were on trial for armed robbery. An eyewitness took the stand, and the prosecutor moved very carefully through his questioning. So you say you were at the scene when the robbery took place? Yes, said the witness. And you saw a vehicle leave at a high rate of speed? Yes, said the witness. And did you observe the occupants? Yes, the witness replied, two men. And then the prosecutor boomed, are those two men present in court today? And at this point, the two defendants raised their hands. Just thought I'd throw that in there for a little laughter. But also, their guilt remained with them. It lingered. Guilt is a powerful reality. It's a feeling that is often very difficult to release from, to overcome. I read that guilt can be like that red warning light or that orange warning light on the dashboard of your vehicle. When that warning light comes on, it's a warning to stop fairly soon and deal with the problem. If you ignore that warning and keep driving for too long of a time, you can have serious engine problems. Guilt. If you don't stop yourself and deal with that guilt and that sin, your guilt filling can lead to larger and larger issues. The Bible teaches that sin and the lingering effects of guilt caused by sin can be swept away by God. Romans 5, verse 6 assures us of a very critical biblical truth. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Our sin makes us ungodly, but we don't have to be perfect to come before God. We just have to come before Christ and seek his forgiveness. And Christ is faithful, and our sin is removed, and our guilt can be removed. Forgiven of our sin through confession and repentance. The ending phrase of Isaiah 44, 22 reminds us of God's love. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a blessed reality given by God, our Heavenly Father. Our sins are swept away as we come to Him in Christ. One of the most startling and revealing stories of forgiveness is an experience that Corrie Ten Boom, author of The Hiding Place, had after she was released from the concentration camp. Corrie Ten Boom was a Dutch watchmaker who worked with her father and her sister Betsy and other family members to help many Jewish people escape from the Nazis during the Holocaust and World War II. They hid them in their own home. And eventually, they were all caught. And Corrie Ten Boom was arrested and sent to the Ravensbrück concentration camp. Her most famous book, The Hiding Place, is a biography that recounts the story of her family's efforts and how she found and shared hope in God while she was imprisoned at the concentration camp. And Corrie Ten Boom later wrote, "It was in a church in Munich where I was speaking in 1947 that I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, the next a blue uniform and a visored cap with skull and crossbones. Memories of the concentration came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment of skin. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent, and now he was in front of me, his hand thrust out. A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fräulein, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? And Corrie Ten Boom goes on, and I stood there, and I could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I'd ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Still I stood there, with coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand to the one outstretched to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, it raced down my arm and sprang into our joined hands. And then this feeling of healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. And for a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did in those moments. It's not only that God can sweep away our sins, But we are to erase the sins that others have committed or we have committed. We are to deal with those as well in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Think about the story of Joseph from the book of Genesis. You can read it later in chapters 37 through 47. He was disliked by his brothers, maybe rightly so because of his arrogance, but he was so disliked he was thrown into a pit and sold off to a caravan going to Egypt, sold into slavery. In time, he rose to power in Pharaoh's palace, and then something happened and he was wrongly accused. He was innocent, but accused and thrown into prison. And for years, that's where he was. And then ultimately, he was released, and he was raised to power once again. Back in power when there was a severe famine throughout the entire land. And people came from far and wide for relief, for food from the famine. And there was Joseph. And he welcomed his own brothers who had originally sold him into slavery and told their father that he was dead. And here he was reunited with his brothers. There's a lot of intrigue that I'm skipping over in the story. But in the end, Joseph forgave his brothers. He was glad to be able to help them and to have restored relationship, not only with his brothers, but with his father. Because Joseph knew that they had meant it for harm, but God meant it for good. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Joseph said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph, Corrie ten Boom. Situations, sinful actions happen in our lives that seem to define us at that point in time. And years later, we can finally realize in some special way through God's wisdom and God's grace that yes, it was meant for harm, but in the end, as we honor God with forgiveness and with our lives of faith, God will have meant it for ultimate good in the kingdom of God. Amen. Jesus also said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy." So let us share from merciful hearts, from hearts of gratitude, let us offer our mercy to others through the giving of ourselves and the giving of our offerings. I invite our ushers to come forward. Gracious Lord God, in our prayer, we acknowledge the blessings you shower upon us. We thank you for your provision, physically and spiritually. And Lord, we offer these tithes, these gifts, these offerings to you, that they would be further to use to build up your kingdom and sharing your peace and your grace and love with others. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Our closing song is called I Am Yours, and this song is paired with the traditional hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. And following the spoken benediction, we will sing the chorus of I Am Yours.
Take my life and let it be.
Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.